With our guest, Mary Occhino. We'll be back with Mary in a moment. We're going to pick it up with her story. When I asked her about if she's ever had a confrontation with the devil, let's see what happens in a moment. Okay, Mary, so you're in church up there in the front row. Tell us what happens.
And we're saying our rosary. And I go, when my friend Lorraine goes home, and I go home, get rid of the babysitter. And it was only about 8 o'clock. And I have my son, Carl and Chris, and Carl was all about 3 and a half, and Chris was 7 and a half. And Carl was on the they were on bunk beds, and I was watching TV while they were sleeping. And like I said, it's only 8 o'clock. And I remember why, like yesterday, George, I was watching Kojak. That's how long ago it was. And
you're aging yourself, Mary.
I know. What can I tell you? But I'm very happy to be here.
Good.
No matter what, I'm 53 and I'm proud of it.
Oh, that's not old at all.
Right. My son Carl, who was only 3 and a half, he was very petite. He's on the top bunk and he sees me home, and he's looking at me through his door open, and he says, "Mommy, can I come watch TV with you?" I said, "No, you got to stay in bed." And he says, "Well, then can you come and lay with me?" He was really petite. So I says, "Oh," and I was kind of small myself. So I climb up his bunk. I said, "You lay that way, and I'll lay this way," because I wanted to lay like feet to feet so I can see through. There was a glass mirror on my wall. I could see the TV from the end of Kojak. And so he's laying there, and he went back to sleep, and I'm watching the Kojak. And then I had my rosaries in my pocket still from church. And as I was laying down, I said, "Oh, let me finish them." I didn't finish them. And I started finishing the rosary. And now I don't want anybody to think that, not that I would be embarrassed to say I'm a holy roller, because I wasn't. I used to go to, this was a 9-week novena I was making. I didn't walk around my rosary all the time, but I do now. And I just had it in my pocket. So I finished saying the rosary, and I was wide awake, George, totally wide awake. All of a sudden, in the midst of saying a Hail Mary, my body lifted. I was laying there, my soul, my spirit lifted from my body. My physical body stayed on the bed. And I'm laying there. It wasn't an out-of-body experience, but it was, like some people say, near death, but I wasn't dying.
And you were aware that you were floating?
I was totally aware. And my body wasn't aware. I saw myself, I could feel myself floating. I saw myself in my children's room, laying on top of the ceiling, looking down at myself, still saying my prayers. I could see so I was not conscious of myself floating, but it was like I was two people. The person that was floating knew I was floating. The person down there didn't know what was going on.
Still functioning.
Still functioning. I was still saying.
Strange.
I saw her still saying the prayers. I saw the Mary, you know, wide awake.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my son, who at that time was sucking his thumb, the little one, and Christopher, I couldn't see, was on the bottom bunk. And I'm floating. I was like, "What's going on?" And the only thing I ever heard of out of my experience is that either you were going to die, or it was like, to me it was like a near death. Could it be? And if it was an out of body, am I going to float? My soul going to float right onto Bell Parkway and like get hit by a bus? You know, all these things are hitting in my head. I'm going, "Oh God, please don't make this be happen. I don't want to die tonight, because I'm going to leave my children with my corpse, two little kids." So I started saying the Hail Marys stronger and stronger. It was nothing happening. But all of a sudden, George, my children had a navy blue rug in their room. There was the floor to the rug started opening like a circle. And I'm looking down. The spirit of me is looking down at this floor opening up. And it would open wider and wider.
Like a trap, like a trap door?
Like a trap, almost like an electric thing, you know, in the street, and like the Con Edison thing, like a big
manhole cover.
Manhole cover, right? Getting bigger and bigger, but almost like a whirlpool, getting almost taking up the whole room, and it would only go up to my children's bed, and then it would stop. And my heart was pounding, and that's what looked like hell to me. It looked like I was looking into the depths of hell, but there was no fire. All of a sudden, what comes up out of this hole is this huge cage. It looks like a shark's cage. And in this cage were three, looks like apes, but they had like a unicorn's kind of a horn on top of their heads. I'm telling you, it sounds like it's crazy.
This is weird.
This is really weird. And they were three beasts. They were the beasts.
In a cage.
In a cage. They were in a cage. They were like in a shark's cage. It was very, like, holding them back. And they were huge. They were massive. And they were coming out of this hole. But the gate itself, this cage, only came out about 2 feet. The rest of it was in the bottom of the hole. But I could see the whole things in there. And they were trying, they had fangs. They were like, to me, that's what the devil looked like to me. And they were trying to get my children and myself.
What do you think the purpose of the cage was, at least in your mind?
They were being held back.
Did you build that cage, maybe?
No, I didn't know anything about building the cage. I didn't try to do anything. I was in a state of shock.
All right, so you weren't...
I was just like looking at a movie saying, what the heck is going on?
Right.
I wasn't trying to create anything. Well, I never had a dream like this. Was not a dream.
Well, you're lucky they were in a cage then.
Well, absolutely. But all of a sudden now I'm saying, oh my God, they're after my children. Because they were closer to the kids than they were me, because I was on the ceiling. Or floating like a balloon on helium. So I'm praying, Hail Mary, full of grace, and I'm saying, please let me get back to my body. Nothing was working. Finally, I just go, okay, I'm going to go for the big guns. And I start saying the Our Father. And as soon as I did that, the hole started closing and they started going down like in an elevator. And it closed.
Were they aware of you?
Yes, they were. They were trying to get me.
They were.
They were aware of Mary that was floating above.
Yeah.
They were looking right at me.
But they were trying to get your body.
They wanted to get me as well as my whoever was in that room they wanted. But they were looking directly at me as the helium that I was floating above.
Right.
And when I finally said the Lord's Prayer, the thing closed, the hole closed. They went down, boom, and my body, I went right back into my body. Immediately, within seconds, I flew into my body. I jumped off of my child's bunk bed. I mean, jumped. I was not sleeping because if you were sleeping, you would be a little droggy and say, wow, what a terrible dream. You can't just jump. I jumped. I could feel my body, my soul go right into my body, jumped, grabbed my children, got them out of the room, and because I believe that there was evil in there, and I started feeling the floor. And I did what every good Catholic does, go look for their big bottle of holy water. And I went into the kitchen. I found the hot, and I started sprinkling it all over the place. And I was petrified. I went in my bathroom with my phone. I made my kids go on my room and lock the door there. And I said, don't go in your room. Just don't go. I didn't tell them what I saw. I don't want to frighten two children. But they slept on my bed. I went in my bathroom, and I called my cousin. My cousin through marriage, and she was very psychic, and I told her what happened. She says, you've been praying a lot. And I said, yeah, I just came from a novena. She says, well, sometimes when you're, no matter who you're praying to, Our Lady, whoever you're praying to, or whatever your prayers are for, the more spiritual you become, and they're telling you that you have a gift, and you can see, you'll be able to see evil, good, evil, things like that. And they're telling you, they're asking you now, do you want the rest of it that's coming with it? But you want more of your gift. You have a gift. And I'm going, oh, I don't want this. I don't want this.
That part of it you didn't want.
I don't want this. And so, and what it is sometimes when evil knows that you're trying so hard to be good, to be more spiritual, to be a giving parent, human being. And I was trying that by going to church. Or, like I said, that was my thing. Everybody's got their own journey. They try to pull you from that.
It could have been worse for you, though, Mary. They could have succeeded.
Oh, but they didn't. But what happened was about a week later, my son Christopher and I called, go to my parents' house on Long Island, and my son Chris knew nothing of this. He was only 7 years old. I told him nothing about this. I hadn't told my parents about this. He calls me up. He makes my mother dial me at about 4 o'clock in the morning. That he had a dream that I had and there was an orange hand painting of an oil painting in my living room, of like a desert scene that a cousin of mine had done, and he was screaming. He told my mother, "My mother's got to get that painting off that house and throw it." And my mother says, "What? What are you talking about?" He says, "There is the devil in that house. I could feel it. I could feel there's evil there," And my mother had known nothing. My son had known nothing. And he said, tell her to get rid of it. I had to get up 4 o'clock in the morning, get the painting, and throw it out. He was not happy. I said to him, tomorrow, Mommy will throw it out tomorrow. He said, no, you must do it now. And I promised him I would. So 4 o'clock in the morning, I got the painting. And this was a big painting. And I ripped it up. I broke it up, and I threw it out. And he had to hear me do it. He says, I said, is it okay now? He says, now it's okay. Now you can go back in the room.
Sounds like Christopher has a gift, too.
Oh, Christopher, all my children. But Christopher is very, Christopher's a paranormal researcher.
Oh, he is?
Oh, yeah. He has a regular job as a trainer in a stock company, mm-hmm. but he does paranormal research with me. And my daughter's also psychic. I mean, she doesn't like to say she is, not because she's ashamed. Nobody's ashamed of it. My son calls, editor-in-chief of the Long Island Business News. He is, you ask him how he's come so far, and he'll tell you his intuition. He doesn't try to give readings, but it's the intuition. They all have this gift, and grandchildren.
It's genetic?
It's totally genetic. Like, they all have brown eyes. They have this, too.
Have you ever heard stories, because we used to watch them on Twilight Zone, of a ghost that calls phones and people would pick it up?
Absolutely.
Tell me.
I have a spirit that calls me and leaves messages. I have it on my answer machine now with music boxes.
A spirit calls you?
Well, I have it on 2 different houses that I live in. I get a phone message, and all I hear is a music box.
You don't have it close by where you can play it over the phone, do you, by any chance?
No, I'd have to find it in the messages, and I can't do it if I'm on the phone.
Okay, all right.
But I would definitely make you hear it.
But you're saying the phone rings.
The phone rings, and there's no one there, and it'll just and I'm not home when this is happening. I come home to listen to a message, and it's not often.
And it's
only happened once here, and I left it on the answer machine.
Well, how do you know it's not a prankster?
Well, you know, I don't think it is. You know why? Because it's like 3 different houses I lived in over 20 years.
Do you have caller ID?
Yes, I do.
What's it say?
Well, I get a lot of phone calls, so I couldn't tell you, you know, exactly when, who. Sometimes it's no data. It's usually when I know it's...
if it says 111111...
Or 0000.
Yeah, you might have...
Or no data. No data sent.
But it's a music box sound.
It comes with music... And the 3 different places I lived in 20 years, now, no one's known about this until now that I'm telling you. I've not written about it in books that I've written about the music boxes going on in my house. That, yes, has happened, but I've never had it over my phone. And I have had it on my phone, but I've never acknowledged it to anyone.
Mary, in this book, Sign of the Dove.
Mm-hmm.
Are the spirits talking about anything going on this planet? I mean, do they send you messages or warnings, or do they not get involved in that at all?
No, they do. The tsunami that we had just in December,
mm-hmm.
I had a dream about it in November, right around Thanksgiving. And like I said, they'll talk to me in my sleep. That's when I get my messages for, you know, the world. Not just one person. And I hadn't gotten a message like that since before the World Trade Center. And then I did get that because I used to work there. I worked there in 1987. So I worked in the building, and that's a whole other story. But regarding this, I forgot what we were just talking
well,
about.
Well, I wanted to know about these spirits and the way that they contact you.
They come... With the tsunami, they came in a dream. They contact me usually in a dream, or they'll send me signs. But in my sleep, they always contact me. And with the tsunami, I kept dreaming, and I didn't know the word. I didn't say the word tsunami in my dream. It was a tidal wave.
So do they contact you in a dream state?
In a dream state.
Are all your messages in a dream state? Or, you know, when you're trying to deal as a psychic medium, is it just dreams, or do you?
No, no.
You do it, okay.
It's like a daydream, though.
Okay.
It's so like you have to put yourself into that other world. You know, when I tell a person, you know, how they want to know how they can connect with their own signs and messages, I'll try to tell them, you know, usually it happens when you're daydreaming.
What are they saying to you about, you know, the state of the world or anything like that? Or are they?
They're making me feel. It's not like they're saying they're giving me words. They're making me feel that the state of consciousness that we're experiencing, that everything is becoming much more of a higher level.
I mean, do they talk about us going to a big war or anything like that?
I don't see that. No, I don't hear that at all.
Okay. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, or it doesn't mean it won't. They're just not saying anything.
I'm not hearing that. But what I am getting a feeling of is that the war will be over soon.
Right.
That I am feeling that. I am feeling that this is the last year that we'll be there.
Why do these beings communicate with you or anybody who has this ability?
They communicate.
What are they trying to do?
First, George, they communicate with everyone. They're trying to communicate with every living soul here. It's just that, it's like, think about people trying to talk to this other people that are deaf. And you don't realize that they can't hear you. And you're going, hello, hello. And you're talking louder and louder. And say you're in a room with 100 people. You're a spirit. And there's 100 living souls, physical bodies there. And 96 of them are deaf. And you don't realize it. You just got to keep yelling until somebody finally turns around. And so when somebody finally turns around and go, oh, she hears me. Or he hears me. That's how they know.
And they concentrate on that person?
They'll concentrate and they'll stick with you. And they'll stay with you.
Follow you home?
Absolutely. But they've changed my life. See, they don't just come through with messages for the client. And when the 60 minutes are up or the half hour's up, go away. They don't haunt me. Put it this way. If you think your loved one would like the medium that they've connected with when they pass over, they'd like their personality. Or, you know, a spirit will stay around. Let's say if they don't like the medium, they'll maybe give them the information that they're looking for, but they won't hang out with them. Because in the same personality they had in this world, in the physical world, they have in the next.
So they move on, they look for someone else.
They'll look for somebody they can chill with.
Yeah.
All right? So if they like my personality, they feel comfortable, they're going to hang out.
Do you see them or just feel that they're
there? Sometimes I see and feel. It depends. I'll get an image or a feeling, but if they're very, very strong and they really want to stay connected, they give me a whole image.
When you see them, are they? Do they look like they were at the moment they died at that age,
sometimes,
or do they look younger?
They'll give me an image of how they were when they passed, and then it's almost like they get healthy and get young.
They kind of morph into that.
Right. They morph into where they really, how they see themselves now. They have to show you where they were. And then they'll tell you how I am now. And it's usually in the prime of their life.
Have you ever had a spirit that just wasn't happy?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
That wasn't, absolutely. But it's that wasn't happy with the afterlife? Yeah, because they weren't ready.
Yeah.
And they wish
they were still human?
Right. Well, they're human. They're just not in physical.
Well, that's true, I guess.
But it's usually a person who has things to say if they were murdered. It's like almost like a haunting. But they're not haunting me. They just want somebody figure it out or somebody help them. That's when they're not happy. They can't be in peace until things are figured out.
Have you been able to, look for, let's say, the body of Jimmy Hoffa or anything like that?
Have I been able to? I haven't tried, but I have found certain bodies like that.
Find Jimmy Hoffa for me so we can break that story.
Well, you'll never find Jimmy Hoffa.
No, you're going to find him, not me.
I don't want to be disrespectful to Jimmy Hoffa, but Jimmy Hoffa's in many different pieces.
Well, that's probably true, too. Mary, stay with us. Back in a moment. I'll open up Fast Blast. We'll take some Fast Blast questions for our guest, Mary Hocino. And then next hour, we'll open up the phone lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, if you missed our predictions television show, you can now grab it right off the internet by going to www.predictions.tv. It's available to you right now, predictions.tv. Those of you in Canada, you'll also be able to see it on your own in-demand cable outlet beginning on February 2nd. So take advantage of that. But the website again is www.predictions.tv. TV. Hey, Mary, you seem to have a lot of positive energy and you surround yourself with that, but have you ever stumbled across these negative energy sappers?
You mean the vampires?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'd rather pull my eye teeth out than read them. You know, what happens is they're few and far in between. I will tell you that. But there are a lot of people. You know what it is? As a psychic medium or a psychic, when I walk in a room, I read the room. I don't try to read the room. I don't deliberately, consciously say, well, I'm going to go read the room now. Or a shopping center or a grocery store. Anyway,
you just pick it up.
You just pick it up. And sometimes it's so negative that you have to leave.
Well, like you said, they're few and far between, but it only takes one.
Just one.
And you want to get out of there.
Just like, the rotten apple. It ruins the whole barrel. One apple, and that's exactly you have to get. Negativity or that negative attitude is like a bad cologne. Did you ever go, really? That's my analogy.
Or an overused one.
Right. Well, you ever go in an elevator and there's somebody in the elevator that's got on this like overbearing perfume or cologne, and then when you leave first the elevator, right? And you smell yourself and you go, whew.
It stays with you.
I have it on. I can't wait to go home and take a shower and take off these clothes. Well, so does negativity, but so does positive energy, too. So if a person is positive around you, you're going to feel that it's the biggest high you can have to be around positive people. That's when I give a seminar. I am, bursting. I can go and go and go. I can do 40 readings in a seminar. And because I'm getting so much positive feedback, and not by people talking, by energy in the air. And if you get a negative person, I just move beyond it.
Every day at a television station I used to work in St. Louis, a guy would come in. His name was Otis. Every day, Otis would come in, shake my hand, and leave. Every day, Mary. But every day, he must have used his hands to put on so much cologne, it's not funny. Finally, after 2 weeks, I couldn't stand it anymore. Mm-hmm. He came in and put out his hand. Hey, George. And I said, Otis, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm not shaking your hands anymore. Mm-hmm. I said, it takes a day to wash that stuff off me.
Oh, thank you.
I said, I won't do it. And ever since, he slowed down. And you're right. Negative people are like that, mm-hmm. where it's just so overbearing. But how do they, like Otis, where he decided, you know what? He's right. Maybe I'm just putting too much on. How do you get a guy or a girl with negative energy to turn it into a positive?
Well, usually if they're around me and if it's somebody I do know or if they're a client that are calling and they're telling me, well, why isn't this right? Well, it's because of your energy. And if you don't change it, you're going to be miserable forever. So you decide what life you want. You either try to turn your brain around, change your way of thinking. You have to recreate your life and take it away. Unless they have a mental problem, then I tell them to go to a doctor and try to get help that way. But most people don't. And it's just it's like a bad habit. It's like getting rid of stopping smoking.
Let's go to some questions here for you off our internet. Grant from Sierra Vista, Arizona wants to know, if you see departed pets or animals, those souls.
Yes.
Do they look like animals?
Yes, they do. And they don't speak. They don't like bark and go, arf, arf, hi, I'm there. It's not like that. I'll hear it as if I would another spirit.
Do that bark again. I missed it.
Arf, arf. but they'll make me feel how big they are by the sound of their bark would be. Yes, I believe that. See, that's why I disagree with some of the teachings of some religions, because they say that animals don't have souls and don't go to heaven. I believe that they do.
Jungian, in a sense, believe that spirits were just a projection of our own collective unconsciousness. Is that possible?
That spirits are just a
That they're not, that they're just not, that they're figments of imagination.
No, because what I pick up is living consciousness. They don't just tell me memories. They give me things that are happening now. They tell me what they're seeing now, not in my life, not just in my life, in my client's life, and what's going to be happening in the very near future, that things that I wouldn't even know about.
Are there somebody, Mary from St. Paul wants to know if you see people who have passed all around us. I mean, do you see them everywhere? If you stuck your head outside, would you see spirits everywhere?
No. If I tried to, but normally, no. You would lose your mind. I ask my guides to do, and God and the universe, is to only show me things I can help with. So if I'm going to try to zone in, I may hear them. I may hear them, but I don't see, like, dead figures all over the place. No, I don't.
VO Guy from the NighthawkZone.com wants to know if you've ever encountered a spirit that has been very unhappy because they died unexpectedly, leaving a lot of things that they wanted to complete in life simply undone.
Yes. And what you usually do is try to help them. And you make them go into the light, but you try to help them solve that.
How do you do that?
Well, they'll give you, like, in a reading, they'll come to me and you'll try to help them solve whatever issue it was. Say if they were murdered, you try to help the investigation. You try to do things like that. You try to help it. As long as you're trying to help, they'll relax. And even if it's not completely solved, that doesn't mean that this person won't be rested for all those years. It's the intent of somebody else trying. They can go into the light as long as they know somebody's trying to. They've woken somebody up and saying, Try to fix this. And then they can go into the light.
Have you ever run into a situation that was a problem for you and you just couldn't fix it in the spirit world? Was it frustrating for you?
Oh, that happens more often than not. As far as, you know, I can give the readings and then, you know, I'm still a human being. As far as I still have feelings just like everybody else. And what you can't fix sometimes is, sometimes I'm saddened as a mother and a person of the losses of that the families are going through. And that's what I can't fix. I can't make people, I'm not a magician. I'm not God. I can't say, well, come back to the physical world because your wife misses you so much.
Terry from Texas wants to know about Jimmy Hoffa. She says, well, when Mary said he's in pieces, how does she know? Yeah, how do you know, Mary?
Well, it's like I do a reading. That's what I'm seeing. You know, I do. You know, I have to. I try to respect the person's family, and I don't know. Do I know the gangsters that maybe killed? No, I don't. But I know, like I know anything. I do a reading. I have complete blind faith in the pictures they're showing me, and I'm telling you, they didn't leave him in one piece.
Are you ever concerned that maybe you'll stumble across something that law enforcement needs to know?
I'm concerned about that all the time. I'm not frightened of it. I'd love to help them anytime. Yes.
I mean, have you ever found, like, the murderer of a victim?
Have I ever found the murderer of a victim?
Yeah, where the victim came back and said, hey, so-and-so killed me.
Yes.
When, what were you able to do about that?
This was not going into law enforcement. This didn't go to law enforcement, though. It's not because it happened too many years later, and the persons that murdered this person had already died. But the family knew exactly who I said, and they knew exactly, and they had believed it was these people that had murdered their father.
So you just,
it was a gangland killing,
right? But you couldn't get the guy convicted.
No, because he was dead anyway.
Well, he passed on, too.
He passed on anyway. But it was at least they had closure as far as they felt it was that person. And, but, yes.
Sherry from Branson, Missouri, do you have the ability to turn the spirits off if you want to be left alone, basically?
Yes.
You can do that?
Yes. By reading, I have to keep busy. I read vigorously. I read anything I can get my hands on. I'll watch movies, but you know what? You know, the funny part of this is it'll keep the voices or the images coming from my head, but not everything is a sign. So I'll read a book and I'll say, oh, I'm reading this and it has nothing to do with this. And meanwhile, I'm getting messages as I'm reading it. Like, I'm reading that and going, oh, they wanted me to read this because of this. And then I'll watch a movie and go, oh, this is fun. This is what they wanted me. So everything you do, everything I do is because for a reason. And I believe everything everybody does is for a reason.
Do you ever come across guardian angels?
Oh, yes. All the time.
Are they in that same realm as the entities?
Yes, they are. I believe they're on a higher spiritual plane, but they've come one and one shoulder to shoulder with loved ones.
What do they? Are they there to help us? What do they do?
Oh, absolutely. We don't utilize, George. We do not utilize our guardian angels. We say they're there. People will call me every day and ask me questions. Mary, who's my guardian angel? What's my angel's name? And I'll say, great, I'll tell you. But are you going to really do anything about it? Probably not. They'll just say, no. They just want to know their guardian angel. And I'm not knocking people. What I'm telling them to do is, once you know, even if you don't know your guardian angel's name, ask your angels to help you by saying, let's say if I can't be someplace and my daughter has to, let's say my daughter needs me for, let's say a test in school and college, and I can't be there to give her moral support, whatever, I'll tell my angels, leave me today and please go by my daughter and help her. We're not telling them to help her cheat on a test. Help her awaken her mind with anything she studied. Help her with confidence. Leave me today and go. And that's what I do tell people to do. If you a loved one of yours getting an operation, or you feel like you want to pray, or you want to do something to be extra with the person that you love, send your angels. There's always more angels, but send yours. And it's like they're like loners. Go take care of them, and you won't believe how the outcome is. It's phenomenal.
Why do you stress the importance of our dreams? Why is that so important?
Because it's communication. Because what happens is we're so busy during the day, and we're so busy, the normal person is so busy using the right part of the brain, the logic part, that when we sleep, it all becomes equal. And we allow the information to come in. We just allow it to come in. And it comes because when we're calm and at peace, that's the meditative state. See, that dream state, I try to stay in that most of the day. I don't try. That's where I'm at right now. It's not like I'm sleeping, but it's that when we meditate, we tell a person to meditate to get centered and everything else. We're there when we're sleeping. So when you're in that meditative state, well, the spirits, your loved ones, the universe, your angels can connect with you and give you information. They do not come to you just to say, hello, how you doing? It's me, Uncle Louie. Remember I fixed your pipes? That's not it.
Uncle Louie, where'd you put the shoebox full of cash? That's what you want.
Uncle Louie never had a shoebox full of cash. It's only our wishful thinking. but Uncle Louie may come and say that, yes. But in addition to that, there's a reason for him coming. It's not just that. You think that we actually believe, and I know we don't. I hope that we don't, that we make it all the way to the next dimension, and all we want to do is just wave our hands and say hi. That's not it. It takes them so much effort. I was reading a woman the other day, and in the reading I'm saying to her, I don't, and she was calling me from, let's just say Texas.
All right.
And I said, I don't know why she wanted to connect with her grandmother, and I'm saying, I'm getting her, but she keeps bringing me to Florida. She goes, well, we have nothing to do in Florida. I says, well, I'm going to tell you, she's not bringing me to Disney. She's not bringing me to Orlando. She keeps saying Jackson, then Florida. Jackson, but the Jackson is big. She goes, nah, we don't have anybody in Florida. I says, well, I don't know. I can't tell you what I'm, she keeps telling me Jackson. She goes, well, could it be because her last name was Jackson? I was like, help me help you. If I'm getting that, that's good. It took grandma so much, because the only way she could have gotten me to say it, because I normally wouldn't think of the word Jackson. So I know my cousin lives in Jackson, Florida, so she had to bring me to something was in my frame of reference. So what we always tell a person, what I tell a person is, be open and just write it down, because what we get sometimes is psychic amnesia. When you're getting a reading back, you're so befuddled, you don't realize what's the information, but it takes them so much of the imagery that they have to put into our heads to make us give you that information. And to give you the last name is phenomenal.
Kevin from Fairbanks, Alaska, wants to know, when we hear the word, the phrase, where is into the light, where is that?
Into the light is into our spiritual consciousness. To me, it is what we consider like heaven. It is like leaving the body. Leaving the body, and it's a place where, to me, it's like over the rainbow. It is that hall, or this light that goes, and you do see everyone you've ever met in your lifetime, everyone you've ever spoken to in your lifetime, not just aunts and uncles and sisters and dogs and cousins, anyone you've ever made any kind of physical contact with. So let's say now, if you live in New York, and you're on a train every day with millions of people, all those people are somewhere in that light.
I heard a guy died there a couple days ago. He was on it for 6 hours before they realized he died.
Would he have a heart attack?
Yeah, had a heart attack. He died on the train, and he just sat there for 6 hours.
Well, I'm surprised somebody in the accident moved to give him their seat. And that's probably how they found that he was dead. Somebody was complaining that he was sitting there too long. And that was a shame. But I'm making light of it, but it's very crowded.
We have a message from Ray. He said his dad died and left several messages that he hasn't been able to decipher. How can he find the meanings? Now, that's a good question.
That is a very good meaning.
Out of Utah.
Now, he can find the meanings. Now, it depends on what the signs were. Like, what he may consider, he's got to know if there were really a message or was it his subconscious.
Right, right.
So that, we would have to know that. But I would tell him the way to decipher it usually is by the coincidences that surround the messages. So if your father's saying is leaving a message of, let's say, a toolbox. So just for the sake of saying.
He used a toolbox, let's say, all the time.
Yeah, okay. He used a toolbox all the time. Now, you're trying to figure out was it just my dream or a memory of my dad. But let's say tomorrow you get a magazine in the mail that's got a big red toolbox in the front of it. That would be a sign that that's a validation of a message.
That he's there, right?
Right. That it was a right message. You usually get two coincidences surrounding that sign or the message that tell you that that's an absolute validation.
That's interesting.
So I would tell him to look for the coincidences and the synchronicities around that.
Mary, we're going to open up the phone lines next hour for you. In addition to people just asking you general questions, is there anything specific you want from them?
No.
Okay.
I just want them to know, to concentrate. I want them to concentrate and ask me, really what they're looking for.
All right.
As far as, what kind of question they have.
Anything goes?
Anything goes.
Okay, stick with us with our guest, Mary Occhino. Her book, Sign of the Dove, Mary Rose's Messages from the Other Side. Deepak Chopra says that she's simply extraordinary. I'm George Norrie. Back in a moment, we'll open up the phone lines on Coast to Coast AM.